Speaker is Mary Rose Tully, and she is also someone who is known to those in breastfeeding. She is currently the Director of Lactation Services at UNC Hospitals, and she's affiliated with the Carolina Breastfeeding Institute and has been working with the Breastfeeding and Feminism Symposium from the very beginning. She has an MPH from Chapel Hill. She was certified as an IBCLC the very first year the exam was offered and has been in good standing ever since. And she's one of the few LCs in a hospital who does not have an RN. Mary Rose. Well, I'm really excited to see this topic come up and come to the fore as much as it has. I was raised by a strongly feminist mother and was playing with the Betty Friedan books before I could read them. And so it has been a good thing for me. I have no relationships to disclose except as a mother, a grandmother, and an advocate for my patients, and I guess my husband would say as a wife. I want to talk about breastfeeding from the standpoint of women and mothers and children. Many people call breastfeeding the fourth trimester of pregnancy. Breastfeeding completes the cycle of childbearing. For everything from the very practical dealing with uterine contractions, because uterine contractions get the body back, decrease the amount of bleeding, the amenorrhea, as Miriam talked about, that leads to temporary infertility and better child spacing. This is also good for the baby because it allows the baby to be a baby and does not bring one baby on top of the other as quickly. It also expands the infant's need for immunologic protection. And the other thing that I think this picture depicts so well is it allows the mother the time to be mothered by other women. And there's that piece of that that I think is really important. I was talking yesterday with a couple of people about the fact that some new mothers are wanting to have childbirth classes and breastfeeding classes online and to always communicate with text messaging. I resist that, and I resist it really hard because I think that when we do that, we're reinforcing the idea of distancing this relationship, when what we're trying to do is teach people how to relate and how to relate. I teach a prenatal breastfeeding class, and I'm always holding a doll. I may be holding the doll as though I'm holding her skin to skin. I may be holding her as though I'm breastfeeding her. I may be holding her as though I'm talking to her. But I'm always holding that baby and trying to communicate how important this is. And I think that there are many women who have never experienced that because they come up and want to play with my doll. It's very interesting. That breastfeeding offers a lot of hormonal emotional adjustment, including the hormones of lactation, which foster attachment, the oxytocin and prolactin. It triggers feelings of relaxation and well-being. I have a friend whose three-year-old, when mom got a little bit overwrought, would go and fuss at the baby until the baby cried, because he knew when she sat down and nursed, life mellowed. Things were pretty good in the house then. And as Miriam mentioned and I mentioned previously, facilitates child spacing with lactational amenorrhea. It also, and I think this is really important when we're talking about families where there's a strong structure of control or with an adolescent mother, it places the locus of control with the mother. This may be the one thing that only she can do, and not only the one thing she can do alone, but it also gives her a sense of accomplishment. You look at that baby and, gosh, he's growing. He's growing just on me. And it really gives many mothers have said to me, this is really an important part of why I breastfeed. I love going in and having the nurse tell me how much the baby's gained and thinking, yes, that's just me. You know, so I think we have to really think about how important these things are for women's sense of self. It offers protection against postpartum depression. I have some mixed feelings about saying that because I think that we don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg sometimes. And so we do need to look on, this needs more study. But I'm very thrilled that our perinatal mood disorders clinic at UNC Hospitals has just established a 6-bed inpatient unit that is built around the assumption that mothers will breastfeed. And one of the things they've done is changed their visiting rules for the psychiatric unit in that babies can stay across 2 feedings every day. And not only stay across 2 feedings, but that whoever is the other caregiver for the baby can stay. One of the first things they did was come to me and say, we need breast pumps. Our mothers will be assumed to continue lactating. And I just think that's just wonderful that somebody's beginning to recognize that. There are some physical benefits of lactation, and you'll notice that I alternate between saying breastfeeding and lactation, but it's very definite what I'm saying. Lactation is what mothers' bodies do. Breastfeeding is what mothers and babies do together. And as Miriam mentioned, lactation decreases the risk of type 2 diabetes for the mother, especially the mother who's had gestational diabetes, decreases the risk of breast cancer and ovarian cancer, and possibly burns extra calories and protects against osteoporosis or hip fractures. But I think it's an integral part of motherhood. You know, this mother looking at her baby is just so cool. Mothers remember their experience. I cannot tell you how often I've gone in to work with a mother and had her grandmother sitting there and I had to hear her breastfeeding story. And it's so cool to hear them. One time there was a CNN story about me and donor milk banking, and I got this letter from this woman who was in her 80s. I think she said she was 88, and it was on paper that was crinkly lined with violets all around it, and in her very shaky handwriting, 4 pages, talking about having premature twins in 1929 and expressing milk and taking it to the hospital every day, and she had so much that they were using her milk for other babies. And when both of the babies died, they asked her to continue expressing her milk and bringing in for the baby, other babies, which she did because she could feed her other children. They gave her groceries when she came in. They didn't pay her for her milk, but they paid for her gas and they gave her groceries to feed her other children. But that experience of losing those babies and that experience of lactating for them and for other babies was still raw to her at 88. We have to remember that when we're talking with women. It does matter. It matters a lot. I'm preaching to the choir here. Women often express great disenfranchisement if someone else made the decision that they should wean. And I don't care if she's a 15-year-old or a 45-year-old. If someone else told her to wean or made it impossible for her to breastfeed, she will express disenfranchisement. She didn't make the decision. It was her body, her baby, and somebody else made the decision. If you want to really feel somebody's anger, talk to someone who was given an injection of Depo or put on birth control pills and told that it wouldn't affect their milk supply, and then their baby started losing weight. You can really see an explosion. There's also the guilt about the decisions they make that is all built around motherhood. And I spend a lot of time freeing women of guilt. My baby cried a lot last night. I think it must be the onions I ate 2 days ago. No, it's probably because he had some reason to cry. You know, you can't, mothers worry about everything they do. There was a talk yesterday about a hospital that has started adding hot food to their menu for Cambodian mothers. because the Cambodian mothers, if they eat what they consider cold food, will not breastfeed because they think their milk isn't good for their babies. I had a woman who cleaned my house who was very upset because her granddaughter in Nicaragua was not being breastfed every day because if her son made her daughter-in-law angry, she wouldn't breastfeed because she was afraid her milk had curdled. You know, this kind of thing really is important to women, and it's built all around that. And when you put that bottle out there, it's a very different thing. The mystery of breastfeeding is one of the things that I find fascinating, and I have spent a lot of time with health professionals, know how to fix breastfeeding problems rarely, and they feel uncomfortable. They really feel uncomfortable. Jane Morton, who's a neonatologist in California, just put out a wonderful video on how to hand express, and the thing I like about it most is you see her hand right over the mother's hand on the breast. She's not afraid to touch her patient. And it is so good. It's just really a wonderful thing to see. Healthcare providers are not used to being out of control. And the mother is in control when she's breastfeeding her baby. The other thing is that there's sort of this black box phenomenon, which is something I made up. I can remember my mother calling me every day after my son was born. She'd say, "Are you still breastfeeding?" "Oh, good." And there was a sigh in her voice. And it wasn't until years later that she told me the disastrous story of trying to breastfeed me, which was very impeded by hospital practices. Milk supply is something that is a concern across all cultures. There's a wonderful doctoral dissertation done by a woman in Sweden where she looked at women's concerns about breastfeeding across cultures across the world. Every culture, women worry about their milk supply. It's like, can I do enough? Later, we worry about, did I do enough to help them with homework? But early on, it's, did I do enough to make them enough milk? Even when the evidence is right in front of them that the baby's thriving. There are also many myths about women, what women can and cannot do, as I just mentioned. So breastfeeding has always had this lack of clarity to it. Sure, it looks good on paper, but is it practical? This is a cartoon I love from the earliest breastfeeding journal I can find, the Keeping Abreast Journal, which had some wonderful, very funny cartoons. The lack of professional knowledge is partially because breastfeeding has never been part of the healthcare curriculum. It's an add-on lecture if there's time. It's not accepted as everyone's responsibility. It's not integrated across specialty lines. And because of that, there's always a difficulty with getting it integrated into healthcare. There's no screening tool during pregnancy. How many of you had your breasts examined when you were pregnant to see if there were going to be any problems with breastfeeding? Oh, you did. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. I never did. People ask me what kind of weird thing I was going to do. Breast health does not include breastfeeding questions. Breastfeeding is considered a choice, not a health decision. And the risks of not breastfeeding, as Miriam said, are rarely discussed. The risks of lack of exclusivity are not considered and are considered a real hot potato topic. However, breastfeeding is very sturdy, and women have supported women across time. Breastfeeding difficulty is found even in pioneer women's writings. I am just really taken by some old recordings that I have of readings of pioneer women's journals when they were the only woman in a logging camp. I grew up in Idaho, wagon trains coming across. The only woman would have a child, and there was no help, and the desperation she felt. Knowledge has survived mainly because women value breastfeeding, and it has at times led to great tension between the healthcare community and breastfeeding advocates. Oh, those weird women over there, we can fix it. We have a formula for feeding babies. It's not seen as a norm. Breastfeeding is an accomplishment. It's not a regular, normal part of motherhood. And that I always hate it when somebody comes to me and says, I'm going to try breastfeeding. And I want to say, well, did you try pregnancy? Or did you try being a parent? No one tries formula feeding. It's just done. Breastfeeding is the first thing that is suspected if the baby has any problems. I saw a child this week who's a year old and is slowly losing weight. The first thing people wanted her to do is check her milk supply. With a one-year-old, that's totally inappropriate. Showed absolutely no understanding of infant nutrition, much less breastfeeding, and the role of breastfeeding at that point in a child's life. If a mother is stressed or depressed, often the first thing is to say, oh, well, if she'll stop breastfeeding, that'll take care of it. While I was talking with somebody about how wonderful this new peripartum depression unit is at UNC, another woman spoke up and said, you know, when my baby was 3 days old, I had to be hospitalized at a different hospital, and the first thing they did was make a rule that my husband could come to visit me, but he couldn't bring my baby, and they didn't give me a breast pump. The fact that she is now a breastfeeding peer counselor is a testament to her drive to be a woman. But it was, you know, it just gave me chills. I couldn't believe she could even talk about it. Breastfeeding is not one size fits all. And I think that that's one of the problems with it. It is more than just milk. Breastfeeding is a relationship. The mother's taking time to enjoy her baby. The baby's learning to trust the mother as a care and source and comfort. But who's responsible? And I know I have to wrap it up very quickly. This is my daughter-in-law, and she and I fixed this picture to depict exactly what I experience a lot of times, is that there are healthcare providers who will work from here up and from here down, but nobody works in the middle. The baby's care is seen as a concern of the pediatric or family practice group, but they're not going to do anything about the mother, where the milk is being made. The mother's care provider says that the baby's not of importance. And so we have this lack of recognition of the importance of this relationship. So where does breastfeeding fit into women's rights? Is it really a feeding choice, or is it a right for the mother and for the baby? Is breastfeeding a responsibility? And who has that responsibility? My last comment is, by calling a women's feeding choice a choice, healthcare providers are abdicating responsibility for management. And I think that that is the one thing that is so important to think about. Breastfeeding remains poorly understood. Even human lactation remains poorly understood. And breastfeeding is viewed as a woman's decision for herself. I am appalled when somebody comes to me and says, well, I really wanted to breastfeed, but I know it's best for my baby if I formula feed. The doctor told me so. I can just get hives over that. Babies were born to be breastfed, and mothers were born to breastfeed. I think we really need to carry on from that point of view. Okay, next presentation.